Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lebanon. It's in the Lebanon. You got to focus on the Lebanon. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 2, 2025. Today's episode is still rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch!
Alright, before I start, like a traditional mistake, I want to send out a shout out To all you listeners. Shout out to you listeners. You deserve some props. And big up if you happen to be a new listener. Even if by any chance you clicked on this podcast by mistake, who knows? Maybe we might connect. Maybe we might make history together. But regardless, welcome. You can't tell. I'm using a new sound device thingy and sound effects device, and I gotta adjust all the levels for it. But it's working good so far. Our reminder: website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast@411@gmail.com. In today's episode, which I'm not sure what the title will be, but it will likely start with episode 237. And, you know what? For a placeholder, I'm going to go with the second day of February 2025. Or the second day of Black History Month. And in this one, I'm going to... Well, I'll give it away. I was in a barbershop, had a conversation, and that led to some thoughts that I felt strongly about and decided to make the main topic for today's podcast. Just a hint, it has to do with getting older, relationships, and just leave it at getting older. Oh my God. I still got that lingering cold. I don't know, if you got the, there's a cold going around. Now, I want to believe that I'm on the inside of this cold, but this motherfucker, this cough is still like lingering. It's going out without a fight. But if any of you are going through this cold and you happen to be a fan or can tolerate the taste of coconut water, I recommend it. It's very soothing. I just realized I forgot to hit record on the video. Doesn't matter, because I'm not promoting a product here. But I am recommending coconut water. C'est ça, l'eau de coco. Shout out to my Haitians who are laughing immaturely at that joke. You know what? I'm not going to explain it. All right, it's an inside joke for us. All right, like we always do, let's start with some quotes. Let's do some quotes, all right? Let's begin with a bit of quote, but okay. First one, uncommon advice. If you don't know what to pursue in life right now, pursue yourself. Pursue becoming the healthiest, happiest, most healed, most present, most confident version of yourself. Then the right path will reveal itself. Unknown. I think it was Yolette Vazant who had a... Was it her? Some book. She said, if you don't know what your faults... I'm paraphrasing. But essentially, if you can't figure out which one of your shortcomings you need to work on, start with pride. Like, if you can't... If I ask you the question, what would you say is your shortcoming, or what is an area of improvement? If you're like, I can't think of any. Okay, pride, mother. Okay, Anyways, I thought it was very clever. But yes, if you don't know what to pursue, start with yourself. I agree with that statement. Second, this one is by Alec Baldwin, which is appropriate considering we're the second day of Black History Month.
Message.
All right. It took many years of vomiting up all the filth I'd been taught about myself and half believed before I was able to walk on earth as though I had the right to be here. Oh my God, James Baldwin, damn.
Message.
All right, okay. Second quote. Friendly reminder that you have zero, and I mean zero control over how other people perceive you. So you just as well just be the person you want to be anyway. Sorry. So you just might as well just be the person you want to be anyway. Powerful. Now, if I read that with strong conviction, sternness, I wasn't preaching. I was talking to myself. It's letting go of how people will respond to something, that I say or how I'll be perceived, is my work in progress. It's my area of improvement. Also, a reminder why I do this podcast. Let go. All right. Another quote goes, remember you ask for growth. Don't be surprised when life challenges you. Motherfucker. I don't know what's going on, but something in this recording studio is fucking with me. Last quote goes, this one's by Bell Hooks, and we'll tie into the final thought. It goes, but not many of us seek community solely to escape the fear of being alone. Knowing how to be solitary is central to the art of loving. When we can be alone, we can't be with others without using them as a means of escape. Bell Hooks, All About Love and New Visions. All right. I imagine that's from a book called All About Love and New Visions. Powerful. That's what's up. Points one on my black card for quoting Bell Hooks. On my black whoop card, because she's a woman. So, yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Let's do some randomness. Randomness before we get to last thought. Okay. Yeah, I think I should have a theme song or some kind of something to alert the fact that we're doing a new segment. I don't know. This is all I got for now. We'll see. Okay. All right. What are we? Again, reminder, February 2nd, 2025. I bring this up because the next topic is, this is what I said, the convenient scapegoat of DEI. It's a common theme right now in the news. Donald Trump is doing exactly what I expected a white racist to do. He fucks up or something goes wrong, and let's blame DEI. I actually have a bit about that I haven't had the chance to present, and it's essentially how every once in a while I like to pretend like I'm the white person, the white guy who's pissed off at DEI. And I'll watch a TV show, let's say like the Ghostbusters, right? But the female version of Ghostbusters, and then blame everything that goes wrong on DEI. Say, okay, see, the ghosts are coming. The ghost came back. You see that? It wouldn't have happened if you guys would have been just a white man-only organization. Yes, every once in a while I like to pretend to be a Uncle Ruckus. But anyway, whatever. The convenient scapegoat of DEI. Okay, first, before I... elaborate. Let me, I'm just going to read something. Representative Jasmine Crockett, said, and she goes, this is truly like a real life bad episode of The Apprentice, but honestly, he is the first one who should be fired. it is clear that he has no idea how to do the job of a president competently. I expect that this entire tenure will go something like this. When things go bad, Biden, 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 Obama, Biden, DEI, 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 trans, immigrant, repeat. Why is it cold outside? See above. Why are the eggs expensive? See above. Why hasn't Mexico built the wall? See above. Why is there a recession? See above. Why doesn't Medicaid website work? See above. This is getting a little close to blame Trudeau. But you know what? No, I'm gonna get away from again, focus on DEI. On blaming DEI. I bring this up because white Americans, well, those who are able to see, those who are able to learn new things or have the power of observation to be like, oh, this is some old bullshit. But not just white Americans, but this is exactly why I don't want a Pierre Poilievre type president, prime minister. Because there won't be any progress under this motherfucker, under these people. This is like the convenience, again, like I said, the convenient scapegoat of DEI. Because leader is supposed to lead. Now, when you give a white person whose whole campaign is, the problem with the world is DEI, who basically uses racism to promote themselves. Don't expect any progress. It's like the bar is so low for these people. They don't have to make any progress. They don't have to make any commitments or live up to their commitments, keep their promises or anything like that. They don't have to do shit. They're going to spend the whole time as a leader is giving you excuse. Don't expect progress because the people who support them will be happy with their will believe their excuses. And if they do make progress, it's either an illusion or luck. It's like, our enemy died. Holy shit. Hey, so in the States, if you are familiar with the news, I don't know if you're reading this from the future, right? There was like not too long ago, recently in Philadelphia, there was a helicopter crash. A military helicopter crashed with a commercial airline, passenger airline. And Trump showed up to the press conference. And of course, we will rebuild. Oh, it's a fucked up shit that happened. Yo, this dude straight up goes into... Yeah, DEI fucked up. Now, there's news about how there's a report. I mean, this is after this dude, fired. we have NAV Canada. He fucked with the it's FAA over there in the States. Fired a whole bunch of. My point is, there's a lot of evidence to point that, yo, this crash could be linked to your incompetence or to direct actions to shit that you did. But he knows that he could just come up and say, yo, DEI. And I looked it up. I'm like, wait, why is he blaming DEI? Was the pilot black? Nope. Pilots were white. Both pilots in both cases were white. Now, I'm not saying all white people are bad pilots. but my point is, okay, stick to my point. My point is, with DEI, black people, brown people, is how it's the convenient excuse. I'm a pilot. I'm pretending to be a white pilot. Plane's out of gas. Fucking DEI. And everyone's going, oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, getting back to Canadian politics here. The reason why I'm strongly against a Pierre Poilievre prime minister is the fact that all this dude has to do, all this dude band-aid will be hooking up the homies, fattening their pockets, and giving you the illusion he's doing shit. Like, he'll do some cuts, make it look like, no, I'm just helping us save some money. He's going to do cuts. He's going to do shit. He's going to give you headlines to make the people who voted for him feel good. It's like, yes, I'm going to deport motherfuckers. I'm going to build more jails. I'm going to use the N-word. I'm going to, the States is DI, but what do we use? Employment equity. He's smoke and mirrors. But the point is, he won't accomplish shit because he won't have to. He won't be held to that standard. He won't be held to the same standard that we hold our politicians to. We expect you to get shit done. We expect you to fix shit. All this dude is going to do is, in Pierre Poilievre's point, if he's not blaming DI, he's going to blame the woke mob. Or he's going to blame Justin Trudeau. He's going to blame everything on the last guy. Or on the fucking, I would have gotten shit done, but fucking immigration. And the worst part is these white folks will fucking fall for it. That's good. That's leadership. That's leadership. Look, you know, it's my goddamn podcast. I'm on a rant here, man. It's, you wonder why I got a right to be hostile, man. My people been persecuted. You wonder why we always feeling hostile. It's because white folks keep falling for the same bullshit. Same bullshit they've been doing since Christopher Columbus reached these shores. Fucking annoying. It's frustrating. All you can do is just watch. Just watch. All right, next topic. I'm going to blame the black guy who tips. Which episode is this? The black guy who tips. Be more specific. Episode 44, the Target boycott. All right. In this order, Karen, then Rod. Because Karen, you're an enabler. And then Rod, I mean, come on, man. Stop communicating your thoughts. Stop articulating thought shit. Stop saying shit that makes sense. Anyways, in this episode, he explained the nuance in the Target boycott. People, because Target talked about how, fuck DEI. So, in so many words, we canceling all these DEI initiative because, you know, Daddy Trump is scaring us. Anyway, and Tabitha Brown came on, and, you know, did a live video about like, hey, hold on, wait, whoa, before you boycott Target, here's some shit to consider. Now, the point is, by listening to that episode about the concept of boycotting, there's a nuance. I can't do it any justice. You know, I can't summarize it myself, but it was enough for me to hit the play button, and by the end of the episode, I'm like, okay. It's not just it had me reflecting on the fact that I had chosen to boycott Loblaws. Now, around the same time, Starbucks Starbucks, McDonald's. Okay, Starbucks, McDonald's, I have no problem boycotting, A, because I'm tired of McDonald's. Starbucks, it's just expensive-ass coffee. And two, but the real reason is, their contribution to Palestine. I'm like, yeah, I'm fuck that. You can pay for those bombs. You can sponsor, defend whatever the DEI, what the fuck are they called again? The military, the Israeli military. But you won't be using my money to do it. That's my reason. Now, for Loblaws, I was boycotting Loblaws because, A, this motherfucker was making a shitload of money. The price of groceries was going up, and this asshole is celebrating celebrating how rich he's gotten. But the truth is, he wasn't the only grocery store to to make a record profit during a pandemic. So I guess what I'm saying is the boycott was more out of like, I'm angry at you. It was the equivalent of I'm not speaking to you. That's what it was. I'm mad at someone and I'm just not speaking to them. But in this particular case, I'm realizing that there was no strategy. Loblaws is going to continue to make is going to continue to make profit, going to continue to make money whether I'm there or not. And bottom line, it just hit me. It's like it felt futile. It's different. I can justify boycotting Starbucks, McDonald's, anyone involved in Disney, anyone involved in supporting the genocide of Palestinians. It's an easy boycott. But Loblaws, they were in a gray area. Especially considering, because my options where I live is, closest to me is I have a Metro, Walmart, and Loblaws. I don't know what the fuck's going on with Walmart, but my particular Walmart, the shelves are frequently empty. It's very common. It's a game of luck. It's like, oh, shit, I need to get milk. The milk I want is not there. Metro, they're kind of that bad. Now, to add to it is, what do you call that? Walmart joined the Fuck DEI crew. So I found myself going back to Loblaws. Well, I was there on Saturday, right? Saturday morning. And you know what I noticed? Two things that happened, right? Two phenomena I need to describe. When I walked in, no one noticed that I was gone. No one the fuck know. I don't know if I was expecting people like, hey, welcome back. Our bad, you know. We glad you've reconsidered. Nah, man. I was just a drop in the ocean to these people. And two, and this is the part that bothered me the most. I was pissed off at Loblaws. I don't regret any of my boycott, but I was pissed off at the fact that everything I needed was on the freaking shelf. And it hit me. I think Loblaws, what they do right is, look, I'm just a squirrel. It's their world. Loblaws, I believe, they do, from a business perspective, right? From a grocery store perspective, they do that shit right. And the people they got working for them are like, I'm sure they're like, they got straight A's in schools. And they said, yes, if you want me to work for you, you need to pay me well. So price gouge. I don't give a fuck what you do. I'm going to give you a great grocery store, but you need to pay me well. Amazon. Goddamn Amazon. They do their shit so well that you're willing to neglect. Fuck it. So how many kids are dying? Like I think of my phone. How many kids died building this phone? But look at the graphics. I ain't shit. Okay, I think this the part of this segment is I ain't shit. Welcome to capitalism. Shout out to you folks with the strength to carry on and like, you know, fuck grocery shopping. I built my own farm. I mean, you're better than me. But all this to say that, yes, I sold out and bought, went to Loblaws and they had great savings. Okay, that's not, fuck it, man. It's my goddamn podcast. All right, okay. So yeah, I sold out, man. But yes, all right. But if I was in court, I would have my lawyer blame that episode of The Black Guy Who Tips. Why did you have to share your thoughts about boycotts and the nuance of boycotting? Damn it, Rod. Anyway, all right, okay. And we don't have a lot of fucking options when it comes to grocery stores. I mean, there's a Sobeys, but not in the South End. Anyway, whatever. I'm making this. I'm half feeling guilty about the fact that I sold out because I'm usually, I stick to the Revolution. Anyways, all right. Next item. Okay, this was a question. It was erased on Reddit, and it was asked in the which subreddit? It's I think is it Ask a Canadian? Yes, Ask Canada. The question goes, how do you feel about Trump's remarks about making Canada the first 51st state and annexing is? Okay, that's a really, but here's my point. The whole okay, I don't know what Trump's problem is. I mean, he's got several problems, right? But one thing is, I refuse to believe that he's an idiot or he's surrounded by idiots. I'm sure he presents the image of being an idiot, but something tells me he knows what the fuck he's doing. Now, I don't understand the logic, the fight that he's picked with Canada. Like right now to me, it just looks like, what's that word? Social instability. But long story short, the current headlines is how Canada and the United States are currently in a tariff war. And I can't speak intelligently enough about tariff, but apparently, well, I think the idea on Trump's side, look, he picked a fight with Canada. That's what I'm getting at, right? And so there's been a lot of question about, wait, how do Canadians feel about Trump talking shit like that? And for me, I won't lie, at first I was like, okay, this is show and prove time. Because I was concerned. See, in Canada, you got, when it comes to white folks, you got white folks who are more loyal to the fact that they're white, who are more loyal to their whiteness and other whiteness, other people's whiteness, regardless of their country, than they are to their own country. Now, I can work with most Canadians, but I cannot work with a Canadian, especially a white Canadian, who's got more loyalty to his white skin than he does to the fact that he's Canadian. Like, look, man, you can be Canadian and part of the Klan. Okay, that's a tough one. But my point is, there's a Canadian out there, we don't fucking like each other. But as long as we both share the, okay, let's keep this flag up and running. Let's keep, as long as we have a shared interest of keeping that flag, the Canadian flag up, we can work together. We don't have to live in the same place. We don't have to be in the same bunker, but we can be allies. And keeping this country going is our common cause. Who I cannot fuck with are the white people who are like, fuck you, fuck a nigga, whip your nigga, fuck these bad eyes, see. And they're the worst because they won't tell you that. They'll tell you that, no, I'm a proud Canadian, or they'll tell you that shit. But deep down inside, if they're going to be in a bunker, they would rather be with another white person, regardless of the fact of their nationality. So I say all this because I was concerned, because this will be the ultimate test on who's in this country. This will be a real test of Canadians, because I know there are a lot of Canadians out there who are like, yes, I want to be the 51st state. I want to join these Americans. Look, during the convoy protest, there were some assholes there with Trump flags. When I saw that, I'm like, yo, your loyalty ain't to this country. Your loyalty is to the fact that you're white. And you need this institution of slavery, of racism. You rely on this shit. So that's the ultimate test. Now, and for good reasons, when it comes to white people, I'm a cynic. I'm a fucking cynic. I expect disappointment. But I am going to reflect on how recently I'm actually proud, especially of my local city of Ottawa, when I read the headline. I mean, saw the video and read the headline of how at a hockey game, Sens versus some American team, I forget, and when they started singing the American anthem, them niggas booed them. Every once in a while, life lets you have a moment, man. I was so fucking proud. You know, I'm rarely proud of the city of Ottawa. But them booing the American anthem, man. Of course, there's going to be a few people being, oh, that's disgusting. That's unbecoming. That's unsportsmanlike. Man, shut the fuck up. Trump picked the, if you haven't noticed, Trump picked the fight. We're in a fight right now. And a whole bunch of us are waiting for that, for that first punch. I mean, he's been sending out jabs, but the one that, wow, his right now we're all waiting for his best shot. I like the, there's an interview, a press conference, Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, he did. And, of course, I didn't get all the details, but apparently he's going to be targeting all the red states. Good for you. Now, I'm down with joining red state. One guy in British Columbia talked about how, yeah, fuck that, man. We ain't selling any more American liquor. I'm down with boycotting American liquor, except for those who are black-owned. Fuck that. Sorry. Sorry, Canada. Yes. Sorry, Canada. I don't trust you white folks. Sometimes I gotta rely on the solidarity I got with other black people that I do with other. You know, this is a longer conversation because I can hear a white person being, hold on, let me get this straight. Me as a white person, I'm not allowed to be an ally to other white people, but you as a black person, yes, because I've been betrayed by y'all. I gotta watch my fucking back. Racism doesn't support me. Racism benefits you. And I'm at war against racism.
We are at war.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. And you are not. All right. Okay. Where was I going with this? But yeah. Anyways, only point to saying that. Who knows? Maybe this whole Trump attack might bring Canadians together. Two things can happen. Either this attack by Trump will bring Canadians together, or will show us our true colors. We'll find out which part of Canada is loyal to the flag and which part of Canada is loyal to racism, the institution of racism. That's what I'm calling Trump. Symbol. He's you know what Trump is? Trump is the prophesied return, the white man scriptures prophesied. Like, he's bringing white people. They said white boy summer. Yo, he's looking out. He's like the savior of white folks. And I say white folks, I'm talking about like, yo, we white power, those people. Wait, why am I explaining this on this goddamn podcast? All right, okay. All right, next topic. All right, you know what? Let me play this guy. Okay, so non c'est Frédéric Préal. I'm going to play this clip. It's in French, and then I'll explain what he's talking about afterwards. Well, I'm also going to have to look him up too. But here he goes, okay? He just said something I like.
On parle d'Haïti, tout ça, puis je me suis demandé, es-tu des fois comme tanné d'être comme le représentant de tout ce qui se passe là-bas. Ben, tout le monde veut ton opinion. Qu'est-ce que t'en penses? Ouais, pourquoi?
Ben, tu sais, justement, je ne suis pas le représentant de rien. Fait que, mais oui, on a une fâcheuse habitude dans notre industrie à tout le temps, dès qu'il se passe quelque chose dans l'actualité, on va appeler un acteur pour demander. Voyons, il y a des sociologues, il y a plein de gens qui peuvent vous répondre, là, des gens. Et puis, tu sais, puis en plus, moi, ça va complètement à l'encontre de mon rythme. Moi, je suis un lent. Ces affaires-là, là, j'aime ça. Je réfléchis, j'ai pas d'opinion encore. T'sais, on est en plein virement aux États-Unis avec la réélection de Trump. Il s'est passé des choses terribles cette semaine. Puis je suis encore. Je suis pas prête à crier déjà mon opinion. Je suis très lent dans ces affaires-là. Puis très souvent. Mais en fait, j'ai appris à leur dire. Au début, j'embarquais dans le jeu, puis je répondais. Ouais. J'allais les faire, ces entrevues-là, puis je maïssais après. J'étais pas bien. Ouais. J'ai appris après ça à faire hey, appelez donc des sociologues.
First of all, let me find. OK, the guy talking, selon c'est Frédéric Préal. Frédéric Préal, he's an actor in the province of Quebec, and let me read his, Frédéric Préal est un acteur québécois né d'une mère franco-québécoise, d'un père haïtien, oh, okay, he's mixed race, relation fraternelle avec comédienne Véronique Pierre. Il commence son parcours à la télévision et le plus tard reconnu dans le théâtre québécois et français. Okay, first of all, it's not uncommon for a Canadian, especially black Canadian, to not know who the fuck, to not know his own celebrity. It's not uncommon, all right? So it's a shameful shit. It's shameful, but it's not fucking uncommon to not know. That's why I purposely Googled him on the show. But I know, yeah, some of the shows that he's done. Oh, I guess I should explain what I just read. Yeah, he's a Quebec, he's an actor in Quebec, and he's mixed race. And his dad, relation fraternelle avec comédienne Véronique Pierre. Oh, okay, so his sister's Véronique Pierre. Who's that? Okay, well, it doesn't matter, right? But some of the show he's done is Virginie. Oh, Femme Notable. Oh, wow. Okay. So this is like a high-end. I don't think he's a Denzel Washington of Quebec, but he's getting a lot of work. Like, I'm seeing the list here. It goes, La Peau Blanche, Le Banquet, L'Ange Gardien. I'm reading titles in French. Virginie, Les Aventures Tumuleuses de Jacques Carter, Légende Urbaine, Cover Girl, Le Gentleman. I thought he was the dude who did... There's this new, Lakai. Isn't he part of this TV show called Lakai? And it's based on, Lakai Nu. I haven't watched the show yet, but, just because my pro-black Haitian friends aren't really saying anything positive about it yet. But I guess I should watch it for myself. But Lakai Nu is, it was meant to be, or supposed to be, a TV show, for us, by us. But it's like, and you watch it, and as a Haitian-Canadian, a French-Haitian-Canadian, you're supposed to be able to watch it and go, yo, I can relate to this shit. It's supposed to be a show made for us. And, and there's three generations of Haiti. You got the newer generation. And whatever, I haven't watched the show yet. But I should. But he's like one of the main actors in that TV show. But holy fuck, that was a long-ass description. In the clip that you heard is white interviewer was asking him, so hey, paraphrasing here, he goes, hey, does it bother you that every time something happens in the news in Haiti and then all these media outlets knock on your door to say, so what do you think? You know, and what I love about his response is brother says that, yes, it's an unfortunate thing that we do. But I also had to realize for myself that I'm a slow person. Okay, that doesn't translate well. He goes, I'm a stern lad. In a sense that I'm the kind of person who needs time to process shit. Well, I'm not a specialist. Maybe you should talk to a sociologist or someone who's got a degree in this shit, right? Because the only perspective I can give you is my own. And two, I don't speak for all black people or all Haitians. And three, there's a part that resonated with me is sometimes I need time to process shit. I've jumped on interviews as soon as I've got called in. This is his word. He said he's been called into interviews, and then after the interview, he regrets. He's like, "Fuck, I hate myself. Why the fuck did I do that?" I connect with that because I'm realizing I'm like that too. Sometimes it took me a while to realize it's okay to not have an opinion. It's okay to do some data gathering. I used to, at my work, I used to have this colleague who would ask me my thoughts on something, and I guess he was expecting, I think he just wanted to argue. He just wanted to fight. And I'd say shit like, I don't have any thoughts. I sincerely, if I did have any thoughts or I didn't have any thoughts that he would be able to process. And then he would say some stupid shit like, oh, fuck you, playing both sides of the fence? It's like he was like trying to like, nudge me into an opinion. But the reality, 9 times out of 10, I need time to process. And it's okay. It's okay. After, I'm remembering this moment, right? After the George Floyd incident, a lot of like local podcasters were like wanted to hear, I don't know, I'm going to blame white guilt, but just wanted to have a black person on their show to talk about this shit. To make it look like, we're listening. And my dumb ass my dumb ass actually jumped on those shows. I don't know. I guess it felt good talking, but I remember after okay, this is hindsight talking, but it's after the interview or later on, I'd be like, man, why the fuck did I do that? I guess I learned something about myself. Sometimes it's okay to take the time to process information. Like the next topic that I'm gonna take on, it was going to be the final thought for today's episode, and it's dedicated to it's a thought about let's call it the Never Kamala crowd. That's what I'm, the in quotation Never Kamala crowd, and but I'm realizing that before I express these strong feelings, take the time to make sure that's what you feel. Because I need to express in a way that if I have a friend who's in that, or someone whose opinion, feelings that I value are in that camp, I need to say something that, if I say something, it's something that I stand by. And I'm willing to accept whatever, like I might say something that they won't like, or they might take it like an insult. Essentially, don't say anything that you're gonna be like, backpedal. You know what I mean? But yeah, the only point I'm making is it's okay. It's okay to not have an opinion sometimes. It's okay to process, to do some data gathering. it's kind of funny that I'm on a podcast, but yes, sometimes on a podcast you just want to have like the latest shit, talk about the latest thing, but you know what, this ain't that kind of podcast. Anyway, god damn, I need to find a fisherman's friend to suck on. Yeah. Hey yo, shout out to the Canadians who understand what the fuck, I don't know if it's an Ontario thing, a fisherman's friend, but shout out to anyone who understood what the fuck I'm talking about. Because I can feel my something in my throat tickling. All right. Okay. Last point. Like I said, Never Kamala crowd. So, I'm going to play a clip that I found on TikTok. And this sister just articulated something inside me that I meant. That's been inside me. She's, okay. I'm just going to play it. I'm just going to play it, and then we'll take it from there. Here we go.
Listening to the Never Kamala crowd tell Kamala voters that pointing fingers is not helpful, and right now we need a fight. It's like listening to white people pull that can't we all just get along BS when minorities lay out all the ways that they have harmed us. We have to stop blaming each other and come together. It's so dismissive. Like, if you want to talk about unification, we need to understand this divide first. You guys thought that the righteous thing to do was to gamble on our human rights, to send a message to our government, a big FU to the government over our rigged two-party system. Do you feel heard now? Oh, it's almost like we said that adding more obstacles for us to fight was counterproductive. All over, I'm seeing, guys, when are we doing this? When are we protesting? What are you waiting for? Who are you waiting on? It can't be us. You got this, Katniss. You can't ask for unity when you're boasting about or proudly defending actions that put us in harm's way. You're still dragging that woman, and she lost. Like, why am I hearing more about her and spineless Democrats and blue MAGA versus your plan to dismantle the two-party system? Your plan to dismantle our military-industrial complex? Like, what's the plan? Why aren't you outside? Why has this promising movement gone silent again? It's almost like we called it. It was all about owning the liberals and sticking it to the man. After tearing Kamala down and uplifting the third party movement, you had no plans. Never thought the responsibility to lead a movement would fall on you, and now it has. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. But you lost millions of supporters that you would have had you not played with our lives. You were not the revolutionary you think you are. Mm-mm. Talking about they're the exact same and we're just fear-mongering. They had polar opposite viewpoints on gay rights, trans rights, reproductive rights, deportation and immigration practices. One has a right-hand man who did the salute to them and the other one has no problem denouncing them. One hopes to clear out Gaza and make it a resort. The other one called for a ceasefire. One respects the transfer of power. The other one pardoned people who tried to overthrow the government in his name. One is an aspiring dictator. One is not. You guys held a black woman to impossible standards, expecting her to dismantle foreign policies that have been in place for decades. As vice president, you held her accountable for the actions and inactions of white men who had power that she did not. To see a growing number of communities suffer and be put at risk, just to turn around and say, yeah, this was all worth it, and then ask us where we are. Shame us for taking a step back. Fuck you. Each and every one of you who didn't vote, who voted for a non-viable candidate and encouraged others to do the same. Until you understand the gravity of what you all collectively did, until I can trust that in 4 years, fingers crossed, you won't gamble on our human rights again. Until you provide an actual plan for this revolution you're definitely not serious about, don't call on nobody to build community with you guys. Like, where do you suggest starting for this revolution? What's the first step? You have concepts of a revolution. Got it.
But bottom line, what's the plan? What? Don't reply to this with counter argument. No. What's the plan? There's another video that, again, this is where I should be probably quiet. But there was another video. There was another video of, I'm not going to play it, but essentially it's the sister who's like an extreme version of what she just said. And she was like, yo, pretty much it was an attack on the pro-Palestinian supporters who were on that Never Kamala notion. And she was just pissed. She said, yo, fuck that. I'm eating at McDonald's. I'm going to Starbucks. She was just like very like being clear that, yo, I'm no longer fucking with y'all. And I know the thought is, look, on that side, they're saying, don't blame us. Blame the people who voted for Trump. I can agree with that. But the problem is, I'm less angry, or I'm less disappointed, pissed off at the people who voted for Trump than I am at the people who knew better and didn't vote at all. Or because of the smoke and mirrors, because it's like, I don't want to get it wrong. Like those people who are like probably influenced by the No Kamala crowd. I'm speculating. But the people who needed help, who needed guidance, who just saw the No Kamala, just to them, it was just more, it is added to their confusion on what to know. Look, bottom line is, I'm not angry at the people who showed up to fight. I'm sure at the people who didn't fight. Because it's like, what's the plan? Again, treading lightly on this one, but I am going to say, the unfortunate part of, on the no, the No Kamala crowd asking for unity, and the No Kamala crowd asking for unity, and the whole plan before was, well, you know, I can't support because of Kamala's stance on Palestine, because she wouldn't tell Netanyahu to go fuck himself. Those people, I'm pissed at them because they, I don't know if this shit is planned, but this state that we're in right now, this hatred some black folks have for that, for Palestine, like played into Netanyahu's hand. I'm not in the crowd of, you know, like I said, I'm still boycotting McDonald's, anyone involved in the genocide. But I just understand the sentiment of the folks who are like confused and who are like taking out their anger, or who are taking out Kamala's loss on the entire Palestine movement. I don't know if this shit was arranged, but it's like a gift wrap for Netanyahu, who, by the way, that dude is super racist. It's like, oh my God, that dude is like, what do you mean? Jews can't join the Klan rally? What about the fact that I'm white? What about the fact that I'm white passing? He's like that fucked up. He's like, that dude excused Elon Musk saying, yeah, no, that was a Nazi salute. That wasn't a Nazi salute. Like, I'm wondering if it's like, it's as fucked up as David Duke joining the Taliban to kill black people. It's like, oh, okay, hold on a second. Now, I'm against 9/11, but if it was a building filled with black people, hold on, I would reconsider their movement. Maybe radical Islam. You know, it's like the fact that Netanyahu is willing to like ally himself with a fucking Nazi to advance his Palestinian. My point is, again, going to the no Kamala crowd. Y'all played into his hands, man. That's all I'm trying to say. And it's so fucked up that it's like, I don't see how Palestine gets out of this shit. They got a racist fuck like Netanyahu gunning for them. They got an ally, excuse me, they got a racist motherfucker gunning for Palestine. And they got a friend in the White House. Not them, but Netanyahu has a friend in the White House. He can tell him, okay, yo, Project Genocide, turn off the camera, is on. Like, I don't see, again, what's the plan? That's all I'm going to say, what's the plan? And a reminder that you either lead, follow, or get the fuck out of the way. I was on plan, elect the person who will at least take your phone calls. Anyways, what's the plan? What's the plan? By the way, content creator's name, her name is J Mini Miss Loretta. And yeah, man, powerful statement. All right, okay. This is it for randomness. Let's jump to use a random thought. Let's jump to the final thought. You know what? Pensée finale. I'm able to call it pensée finale. Doesn't matter. My point is it's the last thought on the goddamn podcast. All right, okay. Before that, let's take a quick break. And I am back.
We are at war. All
right, okay. Yeah. All right, so this one is less political. This one is less, it's more personal. All right, okay. I'm not sure I'm going to introduce the subject, so I'll give it a best shot. So at the barbershop, see, here's the thing. I go to the barbershop on a weekly basis, and I found myself, I don't know, how do I say this? Enjoying my visits to the barbershop a little less. And I found myself thinking about it at my last visit. What happened is, what triggered it is, because I was having a conversation with a friend, and it was just talking about a mutual friend of ours who had a stroke. And this poor bastard, his girlfriend is like, taking care of the guy, like, taking care. But the idea of relying on someone else to take care of you, yeah, fucks with me, man. Anyway, but this person changed the conversation into, don't you worry about, you know, dying alone? Don't you worry, you know, don't you worry about, you know, being single? It's this reason right there why, you know, you should get married. And at first, I nearly, like, fell for it. Not fell for it, but no, I know what it was. It's I was trying to explain how I don't like the idea. This goes back to what I'm saying, how you're perceived. I was frustrated at my inability to explain to this person how I don't like the idea of being in a relationship just so I can have a caregiver or just to be in a relationship for the sole purpose of either having a caregiver or being a caregiver. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if it's love, sure. But I don't want to be in a relationship out of, like, fear, because I'm scared that, oh shit, who's gonna take care of, who's gonna clean me up when I shit on myself? You know what I mean? Who's gonna change, you know, and things like, I don't know what I'm gonna do in that situation, but I do know I don't want to pick a partner because I'm scared of the drawbacks of being alone. You know what I mean? Anyways, it was frustrating that I couldn't, at the time I wasn't realizing that was the point I was trying to make, but it was frustrating that I couldn't make that point. And the other person, I guess they were just like, didn't realize what the point they were making is like, and that's why you need to be in a relationship. In case something goes wrong, you have someone. So essentially, you have an emergency contact who's not your parents. But that's not really what was bothered me about that moment. But it was more the fact that I remember thinking, I'm like, damn, this fucking conversation is a bummer. But it hit me how, I guess this is part of getting old. When we were teenagers, when we were younger, all we talk about is bullshit, about parties, bullshit. Who's the best MC, Biggie, Jay-Z, or Nas? Do you know what I mean? It's like, sure, there'd be every once in a while, there'd be a conversation about politics. But it felt fun. It felt more. But now it's just like, getting older, this guy died, this person is, it's conversations are like, I don't know, maybe it's just a moment. But I'm realizing, here's the thing, and maybe this will connect to why I'm calling it, I think the thought hit me when I was leaving the barbershop and I just said it, oh, by the way, happy Black History Month. There was no real enthusiasm in the response. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. Oh, it's Black History Month? Oh, whatever. Let me take, I think this is the nostalgia portion of it, is, again, grew up in Ottawa, and Ottawa's like, when I was growing up, Ottawa was like white city, literally white city. So I used to enjoy going to the barbershop. I'd go on a weekly basis. Even, I was losing hair, and I would still go on a weekly basis. I'd tell people, no, I just want to trim my beard. But the reality is, I loved that moment being around Black folks. I love that. It was like my boat vacation. I'm going to call it church, but it was like a moment. It was like, I won't call it Sunday dinner, but it felt like it was like an escape from whiteness. I remember I loved, sometimes I don't talk. Sometimes I just love hearing Black folks being passionate, just talking with each other, especially in the barbershop that I go to. It was more like a Caribbean one. Like the most of the customers were from the Caribbean. So you had all kinds of accent. You know, you had Haitian, Jamaicans, whatever, all kinds of BS conversation. It's like, yo, no, fucking the Jamaican patty is better than Haitian patty. Get my mom, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. But it just felt great being amongst what I felt to be my peoples. So, yeah. I guess I used to, you know, I would come in on Saturday and, you know, it's a packed shop. So you could be there like at 12 o'clock and leave at 6. But I didn't mind it. I didn't mind sticking around. Fuck else am I going to do? I didn't mind being around all these Black folks talking shit and just conversation. I'd learn about sports. I'd learn about, every once in a while when the conversation would get political. Oh, okay, fine. I could jump into that. Oh, about hip hop? I could jump into that. If it's about sports, now I'm just doing a lot of listening. This feels a little like, yeah, I missed the good old days, but no, it's just, here's the thing is, now when I go to the barbershop, I go at a specific time, so there's less people. Because I remember, one, A, I don't like waiting I don't like waiting a long time for my haircut. You know, I got shit to do. I hate the idea that, what, I got an hour wait? Fuck that. Two, because I'm older, it's one thing to be around black folks, but now I've reached that part where I'm like, yeah, I don't care if you're black, but if you're toxic, fuck that. Like, there's certain personalities I can't be around. I got one dude I'm working, you know, like, you know, you start talking about pro-Trump shit, I'm out. I remember this one time I was there and there was a conversation that sparked up. Oh, yeah, I remember. Okay, so it was on a Friday. And, okay, this is all allegedly. But liquor may have been served. You know what I mean? Someone may have been a bottle sharing, may or may not, allegedly. And whatever. But I was feeling good. And there was a black woman there. And then all of a sudden, conversation turned into poor. She was by herself. Yeah, it was a black woman there. And the conversation turned into, it was three black guys. And they switched the conversation to why black women diss. Basically, it was a bitch fest about black women. And what killed me the most is the two dudes. I said three, okay. I'm going with two dudes. Is I knew for a fact these two dudes are married or dating to white women. So I'm like, wow. So I had liquor in my state system. And these dudes are, like, conversation started. I remember making one point, saying, yo, man, y'all can't use this one black woman to speak out on behalf of all black women. Whatever. But my point is, I knew I needed to get the fuck out of there. There was a bit of Hennessy in my system, and I know that I can easily get passionate. It was a topic that I knew I could get passionate. I was going to be that guy who was going to flip over the Monopoly board. But I remember, you know, took my sip, made my point, and then got the fuck out of there. I kind of feel bad that I left the poor sister by herself. But the conversation was fuckboys asking stupid question about, I forget, why are black women, I don't know, whatever, insert negative trope about black women. And they were going to use this poor woman to be the explanation about, oh yeah, what's wrong with you people? But it made me realize that I'm like, yo, fuck, this shit's a toxic environment. I don't know. It's an interesting realization to make on the second day of February. It's like the place that I used to go for to recharge my blackness ain't doing it for me. Now, I'm freely saying this on this podcast with the possibility that people from the barbershop might hear this. But I'm making a point that if I made it in the shop, no one was going to either hear me or understand me or allow me to make that point. It's essentially, I needed to get the idea out of my mind. I just needed, and it's an idea that I can expect being rejected. Look, I can't tell people to change. People are going to be who they are. But I am realizing that I've changed. Maybe I need to switch up my barbershop, or maybe I should just cut my own hair. I don't know. Because a lot of people my age, that's what they do. They just, all I do is shave my head and trim my beard. I don't like, you know, I've never shaved before. I just usually handled it at the barbershop. But I look, man, it's just a moment thing. But that's what it is. It's leaving that shop, and it didn't feel like that usual black people recharge. I don't know. Maybe I should start. Not in Ottawa, but I'm too old to do that. But I don't know. It's like I'm asking. Maybe what was your recent barbershop experience? This one time last week, I'm thinking about this dude who came in with his three kids, and the barber he wanted to be there wasn't there, and he's on his phone with his wife going, fuck, man, the dude I want is not there, shit, I was hoping to get this shit done by, like, it's more the idea that he's at the barbershop because he had to. That would be hell. If I'm at the barbershop because I want to be there. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's what's the point? I'm There's no real point that I'm making. I could do that because it's my goddamn podcast. But it's just the idea of, or maybe I should, you know, maybe I should just find an event to attend, Black History Month related. But I remember just going to the barbershop was my Black History Month celebration. Now it feels less like that. I don't know. I'm factoring the fact that I've changed. I've gotten older. I see things a lot more differently. Like before, the standard for you to be my people was just being black. But now I'm at an age where, okay, let's. What are your views on black trans or on our siblings in the LGBTQIA community? What does being pro-black mean to you? What do you believe your sister's role are in the, you know what I mean? Like, it's, yeah. I don't know. You know what? Last point is I'm also realizing that when I became a former Christian, I stopped going to church. I don't have a community or a hangout, a third place besides work. Right now, my life consists of home, work, and maybe this podcast. Oh, and, you know, and then going to the barbershop. But I don't know. I don't have solutions. I'm just talking about the problem right now. I will probably revisit this topic in another one, especially, you know, after I maybe figure things out. But all this to say, if you overstand what the fuck I was just talking about, please feel free to write in at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Website is shutuppodcast.com. With all that said, this concludes today's episode. Before I sign off, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. Oh my God, I just remembered. Oh my God. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green. You know what that means?
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all.
Here we go. All right, the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge bleu, motherfucker. So it's a black podcast. That's got a touch of red, black, and green. Well, that's got a lot of red, black, and green, and some red, black, and some red, blue in it. Rouge bleu, motherfucker. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode is rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Oh, I guess a reminder that happy Black History Month to all y'all. And to do celebrate and to remember that
you must learn.
So yeah, go around and make sure you, if you haven't done it this year, make sure you learn something new. Like I forget what the interview I was watching, but it's in my show notes. At the bottom of the show notes, below other links, I have an extra section called You Must Learn. Link about the Tuskegee Airmen. Oh, and James Amistad Lafayette. That's fucked up. Yeah, this dude, it's a dude I should have known. You know what? Just read it for yourself. And the last link is this white boy just dropped some science about shit I didn't know about Black history, about the history of black folks. Well, it's actually American history, but whatever. All right. With that said, thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
And I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black, I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blickety black, 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 black